This is TWiT.
So, Catherine, you've got a story as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know there is an impossible situation, and that is separating technology from politics. That's how I'm going to put it. That's how we'll start. And that is, so there's an effort in the software community to restrict the use of the software that you create to only ethical purposes. And that's impossibly complicated in and of itself, but I do think, you know, it's worth talking about, certainly. Yeah, so I see it, you know, it's up on the screen now. So there are some groups putting behind some new non-open source. I think we need to get that out of the way. These new licenses do not meet the established definitions of open source licenses. The idea being is that you actually, they don't want the Freedom Zero, in that they want the ability to restrict who can and cannot use the software. So obviously that can't be open source, but they argue that maybe it can. And I think there's much discussion to be had around that. But I think the more interesting discussion is the why. Why is this something that people feel is necessary right now? I think, you know, we've all probably read about various tech companies refusing or ending contracts, refusing to work with or ending contracts with ICE, for example, you know, employees threatening to walk out. So in order to sort of head those kind of conflicts off, I think there's this movement. I don't know. That's something that I think would be fun to talk about personally. I mean, I have no love for ICE. I don't want to get too far into the politics of that, but I definitely understand and respect the motivation here. But at the same time, how do you, like, who decides? Like, how do you define, how do you define the entities that are acting in an ethical manner? How do you define what that ethical manner is in order to allow them to use your software? I think that's incredibly difficult. And there has been an effort to define those things in terms of this license. But I don't know. That's, I think, tough, that's problematic. What do y'all think?
That is tough. And you know, it's because I think traditionally the thought is, well, software or technology isn't the thing that's going to do the evil, right? Guns don't kill people. People kill people. So I think maybe it's expired. I think that's the argument that this article and this movement is making, is that we're past the point where our software is no longer can be weaponized. That sounds horrible. I don't know. But the idea of releasing your software and having it used for something that you find morally reprehensible isn't very unpleasant feeling. But again, that's open. So I like you, Catherine, I understand the motivation. Gosh, it's a tough line to find there, because who gets to decide what's ethical, what's not ethical? Is it the person who wrote the software? Can that person be the person who says you can use it, you can't use it? And if that's the case, it's definitely not open. So I don't know the answer. I certainly see the struggle, the frustration, especially if you're a developer and you see your software being used for things that are just horrible, even things that just you think are horrible. That's a tough place to be. I don't have an answer. I'm with you. Like, man, that's.
Yeah. So, this particular license points at.
Oh, Doc has an answer.
Oh, Doc has an answer. Continue,
Catherine. Well, no, just go ahead, Catherine. You're going to say something. And I don't want to interrupt that because you had a thought.
Well, they point to a UN Council on Human Rights or something. They point to an actual UN definition of human rights violations and stuff like that. So they have attempted to define it, but even still. You know, I still find that to be, too problematic to grapple with. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think that actually there is there's an ethical basis in open source to begin with, and there's an ethical basis to free software. And the ethics, again, is a kind of generosity, and it's a you build into the fact that the code is available and it's free, and it's free as in freedom and not as in beer and all that, is an ethical basis. The ethics are there. I don't think you can improve on that. I think you can chop it up into different licenses and things that make a particular code base appropriate or more or less appropriate for different purposes. But that's more of a pragmatic consideration. But at the base of it, free software and open source and Libris, as we put the L in here in Floss, there's liberty to it. That's an ethical basis. And I think that's as far as it should go. I think every single technology you can name has bad uses. It doesn't matter. I think it's good [S2] Right. [S1] To be conscious of the stuff that the ethical source people want you to be conscious of, that, you know, we're in a, you know, we're in a time of change, and there, you know, there are lots of things to be caring about. They mention, you know, racism and mass surveillance, anti-immigrant violence, protester suppression, racism, blah, 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 blah. Code is going to be used for everything, absolutely everything. And they're just simply bad uses for everything. And you invent a hammer, you know, and the Beatles will write a song about Maxwell's silver hammer whacking people on their heads, right? That's what everything that can be used as a tool can be used as a weapon. And Marshall McLuhan, at the moment, my favorite philosopher, because I think he explains a lot about what's going on in the world right now, points out that every new technology, every new medium reverses or flips into something bad. You're not going to get away from the bad stuff. It's going to happen. And especially as it gets toward ubiquity, you know, I mean, I'm sure that you know, when Mark Zuckerberg started Facebook, he did not intend it to be what it's become exactly. Probably intended it to make that much money, perhaps, but not to do it exactly the way it does. But it's too late. You know, it's fixed in too many of its ways. Same with any big company you can name. It can be used for all kinds of bad things. And we can't get away from it. I think it's great to be mindful of this stuff, but I don't think you can. I kind of chafe at the idea that I'm gonna cripple this software in such a way that it can't be used by bad people in bad ways. I think that's sort of implicit in what they're saying, but I haven't studied it enough.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think there are a couple things, though. I think one is, I think we should collectively consider that there's a better solution to the problem that doesn't involve licensing, that doesn't involve, you know, adopting a new license. I think that's a possibility. And I think the other thing is maybe we need to think of a parallel with, let's say, privacy and security. Like, for example, you know, we talk a lot about how there's no way to only give a backdoor to the good guys, right? So you're either everyone is secure and private or no one is. So it's the same thing. You either allow everybody to use your code or you know, or it's proprietary. Then you get to pick your customers. So to me, it's a kind of a similar thing. If we all want to protect our right to privacy and security, we all also similarly want to protect our right with regard to software freedom. So by the same token, you know, by protecting our right to privacy and security, yes, we are also protecting other people's rights to do private things that we don't like and keep those hidden. You know, we in order to protect our own security, we don't want to give law enforcement back doors. I mean, I don't personally, because I think that's far too risky. But at the same time, that allows that hinders the process of rooting out bad behavior. So I think this is a similar thing. You know, I think we, in order to protect the integrity of the licensing and the concept of software freedom, I think you have to just accept the fact that code is going to be used for bad things.